Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you on Friday afternoon, May 7, 2010. It is now about 4:01 p.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be dissidents in action, revolutionaries in thought. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Liberty Talk Radio. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Email us anytime to comments at libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net. Sutton, sutton-associates.net. In his biweekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the special edition of Liberty Talk Radio. This afternoon, we will have as our guest Mr. Cecil Ince. He's a libertarian candidate for the 105th Congressional District, State of Texas. He considers himself a defender of liberty and feels that the libertarian principles can be promoted locally for the benefit of the entire state. I am very interested to see what he has to say and what unique approach he will take in his campaign to garner more libertarian thinking and get the libertarians out of the closet and into the voting booth. And hopefully if we have enough eligible candidates, what we will see, slowly but surely, we will see that people will stop voting in a manner that they feel they must vote for the lesser of two evils and discard the third-party candidates, being, in many cases, the Libertarian Party. It is abominable that we go to the voting booths today, folks. And what we do is we have two candidates, both of whom we dislike immensely, and the way we vote is we vote for the lesser, who we think is the lesser of two evils, and that is a crapshoot in and of itself. There may be someone who is eligible and qualified, someone that we agree with fundamentally, philosophically, but yet we do not vote for that person because we say that person doesn't stand a chance of winning. Well, how about guaranteeing that person will never win by voting for the lesser of two evils? I think that mentality must stop, and it must stop immediately. If we are going to vote, what I would suggest, if you are going to vote for the lesser of two evils, don't vote at all. That's what I do. The state of Oklahoma, we do not have a Libertarian Party candidate because the Libertarian Party is not recognized here in the state of Oklahoma. So in many places, many times, when I know a candidate is, in my opinion, unqualified for the office, philosophically, I don't vote. You see, that's part of being a dissident. It's not being un-American, it is being all-American. If you don't vote, you are dissident. And that's what we are. We are supposed to object to a government that's abusive. And if we vote for the lesser of two evils, one of which is going to be an abusive person in government, what good is that? Now, I have a concern. He should have called in by now, and we don't have a call-in yet. And it looks like we may not have a call-in today, so I'm going to have to wing it for this next half-hour program. I hope he does call in. Cecil, I hope you're out there, and I hope you did remember to call in. And I hope you're just waiting a few minutes so we can get the introductions dispensed with so that we can have a clear path from which we can discuss your campaign. Well, it looks like we have to go to Plan B. And Plan B, I tell you what I'd like to do next week, folks. Next week, I would like to have a gentleman who we've had on here on the air once before. And he is a advocate of strong immigration control. I know of a woman who is in the exact opposite camp. I would like to call him and her and have them on the program at the same time and have a debate right here on Liberty Talk Radio on immigration. Now, I am for open borders. Now, I know with that, we do have problems. And the problem we have is you cannot have open borders when you have a socialist state, because the socialist state accepts everyone, puts everyone on the dole, and everyone hates each other, and you bifurcate the population because the new people coming in are getting something for nothing. You don't feel they have earned it, and then you have literally social warfare. And that's what we have today. We have social warfare, ladies and gentlemen, and this is something that's got to stop. And the only way this can stop, plus all the other abusive practices, can't stop. And all the practices that divide our nation is if you get the government out of it. You know, libertarianism is very simple. What it says is that I can make decisions about myself better than a federal government can. Now, is there one person, if there is a person who disagrees with that, please call 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Folks, I know you're out there. I know we have some listeners on a Friday afternoon. So I would like you to call and give me your opinion. I called a radio station one time, and it was very interesting, about a year ago, or 2 years ago. And I was listening to the, it was an internet radio station, and they were talking about immigration. And I just called, and I was very respectful. I told him, I said, thank you very much. I said, you have a very interesting program. I appreciate it. Your guest is very well spoken, and I'm listening, you know, with interest. I said, I do have a question regarding, I said, I have actually a problem with the immigration issue, especially as it relates to Mexico. I said, we took over Mexico. We forced, Mexico owned southern United States. We forcibly took Mexico by force and in included it into the contiguous United States at the time. I said, aren't we being a little disingenuous when we took the land from them and then we say, you can't come here? Do you know what the girl did, the host did? She hung up on me. She called me some name, like some, you know, some radical or something, and she hung up on me. And I couldn't believe it. I said, wait a minute, you know, I made a point, and I wasn't disrespectful. I wasn't argumentative, and they couldn't handle it. It's a real problem with this issue. People will not discuss it rationally. Now, I recognize that if you have open borders under the current system, where the government controls everything and dictates everything and dictates where the money that you earn, where it goes. Understand that. The government dictates where the money goes that you earn. Of course, then if it goes to people who are not working or whatever, they just came here to fluff off. Yeah, we're angry. And then we get angry at everyone. My company does industrial health testing. I'm retired from my own company. I still own it. But we go to plants, and there are plants that hire many, many Mexicans, or I should say Latinos or whatever, you know. Now, and the reason why they do is because they're really tough plants. I mean, they're long hours. They're not air-conditioned. I mean, they're mills, basically. And it's difficult to find a American-born person to work there and stay there for any length of time. So they default to the people from Mexico. Some are legal, and I'm sure some are illegal. And you know what is interesting is that when I would go to that plant and we had to test these people's hearings or their lungs for the you know, for respirators and all this other stuff, if you treated these people with the utmost of respect, I mean the absolute utmost of respect, they endeared themselves to you. They were wonderful to work with. You know, so, I mean, we categorize so many of them as being, you know, lazy, coming here because they just want the welfare benefits and all that. Folks, these people actually cross a desert. Many of them die doing so to come here. And they don't do that so they can come here, get drunk, and get on welfare. They come here because they can get a job. Albeit a lot of jobs you and I would not think of doing. And I really think we have to rethink. That was nicely said. What we mean by immigration control. Now, I have no problem at all having posts, several posts, instead of having this stupid wall, having several posts and have them come through there and have their picture taken, their fingerprint, you know, get their history and whatever, and then give them, you know, some sort of visa, you know, temporary work permit, you know, for 30 days or something like that. I don't think they would mind. I think we'd be fine. But then those people who really want to do harm, those people that we have to round up and put in jail because they're here to commit crimes, that's a very small percentage that we can handle. But right now, we're treating everyone without papers as a criminal. Can't do that. We don't have enough people. And remember, when we say we have to secure our borders, the longest border, the largest and longest border between two countries is between the United States and Canada. I couldn't believe it. I had to look at a map. I figured, well, no, Mongolia and Russia or China. Nope. The longest one is between Canada and the United States. And if you want to secure our borders, the border between the United States and Canada is well over 3,000, probably close to 4,000 miles long. The one between Mexico and the United States is 2,000 miles. Now, folks, we can't secure the 2,000 miles. I mean, it'll bankrupt us if we try to do it. It'd be impossible. Could you imagine the one that's over 4,000 miles or almost 4,000 miles? I don't know exactly how much it is, but it'll be close. And plus you have the Great Lakes in between. And let us not forget that we have a coastline and our country is primarily coastline. How do we secure that? You know, we have to get this mentality of securing our borders and protecting the United States. We never did that before. 100 years ago, we let everyone in. Of course, they came in and they got, you know, through Ellis Island and stuff like that. But we didn't have this problem. And when people came here, yes, they stayed with their own kind because they felt comfortable. They didn't speak the language. And people today, believe it or not, are really learning the language as fast as any other group has come in. Even modern today people, you know, people that come in today. We say, oh, they come here, they don't want to learn the English language. No, they do. They, in fact, do. A lot don't. But that's always been the case. It's been really no different. I think we really have to rethink immigration. Immigration with limited government and something logical. The only reason why a person is illegal is because the government won't give them a piece of paper. These people are not that they have a piece of paper, haven't done anything particularly. They fill out a form. But the government only allows X number to come in. Well, the government say, all right, we're going to allow 60,000 in, but we need 500,000 to do the work that we need. So all the rest are illegal. And then we have this big problem. Everyone's up in arms. Now, don't get me wrong. If someone comes here and breaks the law, they're doing all sorts of things illegally, they should go to jail. They don't export them. Put them in jail. And then from there, get a big truck and bring them all back to Mexico. But when you bring back to Mexico, don't bring them back to the border. Bring them back to southern Mexico. You know, the border with Nicaragua, whichever country is below Mexico. You know, I don't know which country is south of Mexico. Isn't that terrible? I don't not know which one is south of Mexico. This is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio, 646-652-4620. If there's someone out there who can tell me which country is south of Mexico, I'd appreciate it. Right on the border. So they'd have to travel all the way back. Make it tough for them. or give it to the Mexican authorities and say, look, they're going to come back. If not, then we're going to have real troubles. And if we're giving aid to Mexico, stop the aid. I mean, do something. I mean, if they're really causing a problem, do something constructive, not what we're doing now. Anyway, it just looks like our guest has forgotten our interview. And I'm very, very disappointed because I really, really wanted to hear what I may do. I don't think I have his number, but I may call him anyway and see if I can get him on the pipe. And that's going to be interesting. I've never done this before. Actually call someone on the phone while I'm broadcasting. Let's see if I can get him on the phone and see if we can get him on the air. Hold on, and here he is. One ringy dingy. Remember that? One ringy dingy, two ringy dingy, three ringy dingy. Let's see if we can get him on the air. I hope he's available, and he just forgot, and he can call in, and that would be neat. Hello. Cecil, this is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio. Fine, you haven't called in yet. Okay. All righty, would you, you have the number now? Yeah, 646. No, not this number. Yeah, write this number down and call it immediately. 646-652 is 646-652-4620. Right. Okay, thank you. What do you know? Something came up, and he was late, and he basically forgot. But we'll forgive him on that one. Let's see when he calls in what happens. Here he comes, folks. Just hold on. I can just hear the phone line. The phone lines are warming up as we speak. Hold on. Here he comes. Here he comes. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Well, I'm awfully glad that we were able to reach him by telephone that quickly, and he will call in because it's worth the effort. You know, we did this, and we set this whole thing up, and you know, things like that do happen. Oh, he's not here yet. I'm going to call him again. Oh, there he is. Cecil, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Cecil, you're on the air. Welcome to Liberty Talk Radio. What I did do is I reserved an additional 15 minutes of bandwidth, so we really haven't lost any time, but I was dancing for the first 15 minutes, by the way. So we're okay.
My apologies.
That's okay.
Great.
Okay, folks, this is Cecil Ince. He is the Libertarian candidate for the 105th Congressional District, State of Texas. He is a Jeffersonian, would like to discuss his libertarian principles and how they can be promoted locally for the benefit of the state. And Cecil, why don't you just very quickly tell us something about yourself, what you intend doing, your campaign, and how you're going to accomplish your objective, and we'll take it from there.
Well, a little bit about myself. I'm 34 years old. I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, and served in the United States Army, discharged in 1999. And I have been a member of the Libertarian Party since 2000 and a proud active member and an advocate of the Jeffersonian movement. And my goals are, in part, is one, is I'm running a campaign to win. I want to be the first elected Libertarian to the Texas State House. Two is to spread the word of liberty. And three, I want to get more people involved at the local level.
Okay. What made you decide to become a libertarian?
Well,
was there a defining moment?
That's an interesting question. And to there's a series of events that led me up to wanting to become a libertarian. I was unaware that the Libertarian Party existed. And I had heard my mother, who is a Democrat, unfortunately, she would talk about politics and other things. She said that I understood and I agreed with, but not everything. And then I had family members that are Republican, and then they would talk, and I'm like, well, that's closer to what I'm going at, but I'm not seeing any results in government. And I'm walking down the street, and people are getting stopped by police and ID'd for just random checks. People's houses are being kicked in by police, and all this stuff is going on in the neighborhood I was living in. I'm like, well, I'm living in a police state. What's happened to the Constitution of the United States? And, well, one day while walking the streets of Springfield, Missouri, I was on my way from one point to another, I passed this marketing firm, and inside were some libertarians that were doing dialing for votes. And I went in, I talked to them, they gave me the world's smallest political quiz, and I scored 100-100, and ever since then I've been a member of the party.
Okay, that's great. I applaud you for that. That's wonderful. It is so interesting that I hear from people that say, I took the quiz and I was 100 or near 100% or 100% libertarian, but then they follow and say, but I'm a Democrat. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't understand that. I'm glad to say that you scored libertarian and you're a libertarian. That, to me, makes a lot more sense. Okay. Now, we've had in the United States, and I've been a member of the Libertarian Party for some time now. I've been to some of the conventions and whatever. I was last year at Denver at the National Convention, et cetera. And I just wonder... I ran for office as a libertarian when the Libertarian Party was recognized here in the state of Oklahoma, which is no longer because we can't garner enough signatures. They make it incredibly difficult to stay a political party here in Oklahoma, and they're hopefully going to change that soon. But breaking that glass wall, if you will, I found incredibly difficult. How are you approaching your campaign, and what makes you confident that you're going to be successful and people are not going to go to the polls and say, well, I really did agree with Mr. Entz, but, he doesn't have a chance of winning, so I'll vote for the lesser of two evils, as which they normally do. How are you going to overcome that?
Well, anytime someone ever says, it's voting, you always vote for the lesser of two evils, libertarians don't have a chance, I look at them and I say, well, you're still voting for evil.
Right.
Why don't you vote your heart?
I know.
Well, that's my response to them. They say that libertarians don't have a chance. We don't have a chance because of we have a chance. We got to get out and we got to campaign. I mean, the paper candidate days of the libertarian are over.
Right. Well, all right. Now, so specifically, what are you going to do to overcome that obstacle? I mean, how are you attacking that problem? I know you're not full swing yet with your campaign, but what measures do you have in your own mind? How do you foresee approaching this, knowing that's going to be one of the major obstacles that you'll come across?
Well, the major obstacle that I come across is, of course, these rich oil tycoons who are endorsing these candidates and giving them $50,000 for campaign money,
right,
which is primarily, as you know, advertising funds.
Right.
And my way is word of mouth. I mean, it's the oldest form of advertisement. The more people I know, the more recognition I'm going to get. I've got money rolling into the campaign little at a time. And right now, that all those funds are going toward business cards, yard signs, banners. I'm in the process of producing a television commercial right now.
Okay.
And that's what's going to take. It's going to take advertisement, and it's going to take knocking on doors and shaking hands and kissing babies.
All right. About how many people are in your district? Do you know offhand?
I don't have that
okay.
number.
Okay. I was just because, if it's a sizable district, going door to door, you'll be doing this from now until, the chickens come home. But what will be your message? What I'm trying to understand is what approach or unique approach will be used to turn people's minds, because it's been so difficult to do that. Is there any particular approach that you are going to take, especially when you speak to these people?
Well, I'm going to stand. I see exactly what you're saying, and my thing is I'm going to stand out from the other two candidates. I'm going to show the voters of this district, of the 105th of Texas, that the Republicans and Democrats are they're the same thing. They're saying two different things, but they always produce the same results.
Right.
And right now, one of the biggest issues in the state of Texas, with especially concern of a lot of libertarians, is the Texas Trans Corridor.
Right. I don't know much about that, but there's a big concern about that, yes.
Well, you have on one side of the political aisle, you have Republicans who are getting their pockets padded by special interest groups, primarily oil companies for transportation of oil and gas,
right,
which they want that corridor put in.
Right.
On the other side of it, you have the Democrats saying, we need highway improvements. People
right.
need better roads.
Right.
Okay, but the agenda is still the same. Put this corridor in, steal properties from business and residents and voters, and, you know, they're stealing. The government is abusing eminent domain, which should never be, it was never in the United States Constitution and should never be in the Texas State Constitution.
Right, right. Now, are they not already building that Texas State Corridor?
In some areas they are. The main issue here in the 105th is the 183 Diamond Interchange. You probably know that the Texas State Stadium, Cowboy Stadium, is no more. It's a pile of rubble
right now.
Right,
okay.
And they are building this big corridor. It's going to be like a 30-lane highway with tow roads going down the middle of it. I've talked to many business owners along 183 here in Irving, Texas, and they were up in arms about what was going on. The Texas Department of Transportation took people's properties. My opponent, Linda Harper Brown, changed the Texas state statutes so that condemnation could be imposed on people that did not want their properties taken.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. I would suspect, but you have to correct me if I'm wrong, obviously. The population is not really the populace. Is are they pro or con this corridor?
That's kind of I have never actually looked at the numbers. I've talked to several people that are, they're for highway improvements, and they always, usually the Democratic side takes the stance of that. And the other side takes the stance of it's for the economy, it's for the trucking industry.
Right, right.
So people that are not informed, they're not informed of what the big agenda is here. And the ones that are, you know, a lot of them are Tea Party activists,
right,
and they follow the Glenn Beck movement, and they are up in arms about this as well.
Right, right.
The thing is, you know, when government lays laws, the law is the law. And when our politicians stand by idly and make the rules as they go along, it's time for the people to stand up and say no more. We're not here to overthrow the government, to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution.
Right. Now, when I ran for Congress in the year 2000, the general election, I had difficulty being accepted into many of the debates. I was excluded from some of the debates. Some I literally forced myself into. I mean, literally forced myself into the debate. It was unconstitutional. In fact, I never wanted to sue anybody. I never sued anybody in my life. But I did want to sue the League of Women Voters because they sponsored a debate and left me out. And I said, of all the organizations, it would be the League of Women Voters should be the one that wants to include all of the legitimate candidates, you know, but they just wanted the Republicans and Democrats. I wanted to sue them so badly I can taste it. I never did, but that's how angry I was. What kind of reception will you be receiving from, you know, the establishment, I guess, or I don't know how you would call it, but from those people who set up the debates and make all of the political faulty law available to everybody, will you be included, or how has that worked in your state, in your district?
Well, around this district, all the debates are going to be handled by private organizations or political, non-political organizations, as you know. We'll host these events.
Right.
And the way that I see that I can get in there, like I've already made contact at North Lake College with a professor there, and they are going to be arranging and a debate. I believe that every libertarian running for office needs to become best friends with the people that host these debates.
Right.
If we are not friends with them, they will not invite us.
And that was a problem that I had, is that I didn't even know that at the time, and I just said, well, the debates will come up. I'm like a jerk. I thought I would be included. I was included in the very first one, and I said, well, that's great. I'm going to be included in all the debates. What a fool I was. After that one that I was invited to, for some reason, I wasn't invited to any others because there were different organizations. There was no connection between the two, among them at all. But I had a fight for each one of them. But if I would have called the people in advance and said, you know, I am a candidate, you know, I'm on the ballot, you know, and I expect, and you get to know these people, you stand a much better chance of being included in the debates. All right. So you have debates, you have yard signs, you're going to have enough money for TV ads.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I'll have enough money to place the ads.
Yeah.
I'm still asking for donations. You can donate at www.cecilince.com, CECILINCE, and it's through PayPal. And any funds that come in is going to go toward the commercials, the yard, and the yard signs. I want a massive visual campaign. I want to win this district. That's where I'm standing.
How much help are you getting from the Libertarian Party itself in your campaign? How active are they?
Very active. I have several donors from the party here in Dallas County who are very supportive, and they're very active. In fact, the Dallas County Libertarian Party hosted a candidate meeting. We produced YouTube videos. We did our platforms. We got everything set up for the state and for the county, for the other candidates that are running at county levels. And we got ready for the convention, because we hold conventions rather than primaries here in Texas. And so that there was very helpful. I mean, the Libertarian Party of Dallas County has been very helpful.
All right.
And I believe that's where it comes in. Whenever we either stand together or we fall apart.
Absolutely.
I mean, divided we stand.
I will be sending you my little donation after this radio program, okay? You'll see the check in the mail, okay? I promise you that, okay? And don't let me forget to invite you to send me your mailing address, because I'd like to send to you, gratis for being on this program, an official Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt. Please send me your mailing address and T-shirt size. Just send it to the email that you and I have been corresponding with, and I'll make sure that gets in the mail to you. Now, the issue that I think that libertarians have probably the biggest problem with is that of immigration, especially in the state of Texas. How do you tackle that one when people are so hostile at this point in time, and they're hostile and legitimately hostile because of the, you know, we have a welfare state that's just totally out of control. And if the whole thing is out of control, it's mostly the government fault, but they want more government intrusion in immigration. And yet the libertarian position is basically open borders. How are you going to approach that?
Well, when Denny's has free pancakes, people line up by the millions.
Right.
Okay, when the United States offers free health care and free housing and free this and that to illegals, they're going to come by the millions.
Right.
They come here and we give them jobs, and the employers are not fined. They're violating the law.
Right.
The law of the land is still the law of the land, regardless of anyone's position.
Right. But are you for open borders?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Right.
Allow peaceful people to cross freely, but I don't think we need to be giving them a free handout.
Okay, agree. And see, the big problem that libertarians have is that under our current socialistic, fascist, corporatist type of government, you can't be a libertarian because they're giving the house away, and you know it's very, very tough. I'm for open borders also, but I like to get rid of all the programs that bifurcate the population and take money out of working people's pockets and put into people who are here for no other reason other than to be on the dole. And then there's very few of those. Most of them come here to work, because I've worked with these guys before, and they're very, very hardworking people. All right. What do you think is the major issue that you're going to key on in your campaign?
Well, the eminent domain.
eminent
domain. Is the main issue that I'm going to be focused on. Eminent domain and intrusive family services, which is actually a national problem. But if Texas can lead the way, any state can lead the way, and show and shine a beacon of liberty as an example for all the states.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do at a local level, too. And that's another thing that I'm working on today is localizing libertarianism, getting all the precinct, ward, or township seats filled.
Okay.
And the Libertarian Party can grow faster than the Democratic Party if we go out and we talk and we advocate and we get people to join.
Yeah, you may have a good opportunity because people are so disenfranchised. But let me, you know, I never broke for station identification. This is horrible. I need someone to remind me, which I do not have here, right here, because I'm all by myself here today. Folks, you're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. As our guest, we have Cecil Ince. He's the Libertarian candidate for the 105th Congressional District, State of Texas. He is a defender of liberty and a Jeffersonian. So now, when you say you're a Jeffersonian, what does that mean? So I know what that means, but maybe our listeners would not know what that means. Oh, excuse me. Please call in 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Listen, I know you're out there. Don't be afraid. Call with your comments or questions. I appreciate it. And if you're listening to this on a rebroadcast or on your archives, send your emails, your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Okay. When you say you're a Jeffersonian, what does that mean?
Well, very simple. I believe and support the tenets and principles of Thomas Jefferson, who was the founder and established the Thomas Jefferson Democratic Republican Party, not to be confused with the Democrats or Republican Party. I'm neither a Federalist nor Anti-Federalist, but in today's state, I would take an Anti-Federalist stance.
Okay.
I believe in independent schools, what Thomas Jefferson used to refer to as tax-subsidized schools, which were commonly ran by the parents,
right,
the people that lived in that district, that had
right.
send their kids there.
Right.
It means that I believe that agriculture is the backbone of the economy, yeah, not the Federal Reserve.
Right.
I believe that all men are created equal. I believe that that war is not a first resort. It is a last resort. Embargoes can have just as much of an effect on enemy countries as a war can. Wars cost people lives. Embargoes cost countries money.
Right. Well, you know, people are under the impression that libertarians are some sort of left-wing liberals. They have no idea what libertarians are. How are you going to overcome that? What type of dialogue will you have out there so they'll know what a libertarian is?
The simple dialogue is that I'm economically conservative and I'm liberal on personal freedoms. I'm the guy that I can cross the aisles. I have a proven record of having worked with Republicans and Democrats to bring about legislation of liberty.
Okay.
And until we start taking a position of Republicans and Democrats are entitled to the Constitution just as libertarians are, and we realize that they can be our allies, not our enemies, we're not going to be able to get very far.
Right. War on,
that's where I stand.
War on terror, war on drugs, war on poverty, war on everything else. How do you stand? How do you answer those?
Who's the enemy?
No one knows. Don't ask me. I don't have the answer to that.
That is the simplest question you've asked me so far. No, who's the enemy? In the war on drugs, it's the American people. The war on terror, the Patriot Act, made me an enemy.
That's right.
Okay, every war that the United States has implemented that has not declared war on a country, they've actually declared war on the American people and the Constitution.
I like the way you said that. That's a good point. And quite frankly, I have not thought of it that way. But that's an excellent point. I think that will give you real points with people. People will start be a little bit more introspective when it comes to all these stupid wars that the government trumps up so that they can spend and regulate and do whatever the heck they want.
The government goes and declares war because the Federal Reserve wants their money back.
Right. Right. There's no money in peace, is there? There's not as much money at peace.
Bankers make money. Bankers make money off war.
Right, right. And, you know, I often thought that maybe what we should do is say, if you want to start a war, you have to go there, you have to put the uniform on, you have to load a gun, and you have to be on the front lines. And I wonder if we ever go to war after that again. I mean, we should do something like that, you know. Now, the Federal Reserve, what should we do with those characters?
Well, I think the Federal Reserve, we should say goodbye. The Federal Reserve is a defunct system. The more they loan, the more interest that we owe. I mean, they're printing the money. How are we going to pay it back?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the interest is it keeps accumulating. We're supposed to be paying interest with U.S. savings bonds, but the majority of U.S. savings bonds have been purchased by China.
That's right.
And we're living in a state today of economic distress, and the more money they throw at it, the bigger the problem becomes.
Yeah. How is the economy in your district?
Well, I know that in the state of Oklahoma, I could probably go purchase a pack of cigarettes for $2 or $3. Here, you're going to be spending $5 to $8 a pack. Gasoline is about $2.70 a gallon, and there's a lot of jobs though. There is work here. They have thrown more money into the hole. Which has caused people to apply for government loans. Banks are now probably, you know, very happy that the Federal Reserve has given them more cash.
Yeah.
And the more this is going to cause inflation, which we will see prices rise again here very soon.
Yeah.
And it makes somebody that's working at McDonald's seem feel powerless, where one time they were probably getting above the hump. Now they're probably going under the hump. They're going to have to get a second job.
Yeah, you know, I saw a sign in the front of a very well known convenience store here called Quick Trip here. I think they're in Texas too. And they had a sign outside. I just saw this yesterday, and I don't smoke, so I have no idea how much cigarettes cost. But they had a off brand or private brand cigarettes on sale for $3.59. So I would assume that cigarettes here are somewhere in the vicinity of $4 to $4.50 a pack, I'm assuming. So if they have the off brand on sale at $3.59. So yeah, we're pretty high in that regard also. We have about two more minutes. Let me give you at least 1 minute to wrap up, Cecil, and tell our audience or people who will be listening on the archives, we will play this for possibly 3, 4, 5 days, possibly a week, depending on our next guest. And so the people listening in, so for their sake, why don't you tell us, conclude this program and give them some information so that they can help and respond to you.
I'm Cecil Anthony Entz. I'm running for the Texas State House, 105th District. My website is www.cecilentz.com. That's Cecil, C-E-C-I-L-I-N-C-E, one word. And I'm running as a proactive candidate. I'm running as a candidate that will work for liberty, and I will work with Republicans and Democrats, and I will caucus as well. I will fight to bring about libertarian legislation, come win or lose. I will lobby if I don't make the get the vote. I will fight to bring about change within the Libertarian Party by recruiting more people, by getting more libertarians more active, by creating local libertarian groups, even in municipalities that are nonpartisan. I will have localized libertarian groups like Irving Liberty Council. Irving Liberty Council, their job would be to advocate libertarian legislation to change ordinances to bring about libertarian policies within the city of Irving or whatever city. Even in Tulsa, the same thing could start up a grassroots movement to get in elected mayors and city councilmen and get libertarian chiefs of police and sheriffs. And we can do this at a local level. The bigger we get local, the more of a chance we will have of having a congressman elected to the U.S. U.S. House.
Thank you, Cecil. We have 10 seconds, and we're going to be off the air. So let me thank you so much for calling in. And remember, send me that email to to my email address and with your T-shirt size, and I'll get a T-shirt to you, okay?
Wonderful. I thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now. Good luck. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Shaker's Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.